Good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to
Good morning.
Sunday morning adult discussion group at Wings Christian Fellowship.
Good morning.
Who's going to start in a word of prayer this morning? Oscar?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Father, we come in your presence right now. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift and magnify your name above all other names. We ask you to have your way. Let your spirit just flow through us today as we gather together and we discuss the things of you. Give us all insights and help us to just lift and magnify you. And whoever would hear this word, let it be an encouragement to them and a strength to them.
Yes,
and we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
praise God.
Well, we're still in Matthew chapter 13. And I think the week before last, we all skipped last week. And the week before last, the last time we were together, did we stop at 46? I think we did.
We're at the level 53.
We stopped at 47.
47?
Oh,
well,
47.
I just, the one thing I do remember is that I was really tickled at something that Buddy brought up right at the end, and it was beautiful. And I don't know if you want to listen to just the tail end of last week, but in the telling of the parables, where it said that Buddy brought up in Matthew chapter 2, verse 8, was it?
Yes.
About the story of the kings. Right? And they followed the star, I believe, and they came to Jesus. They came to, when he was in Egypt, right? You said he was a child and they left, and went to Egypt at some time, but wherever it was.
Well, he was not a baby.
Right.
No.
He was about 3 years old, probably, or older.
Three, yeah.
And I thought it was such a beautiful parallel to that they came and they saw the child. Now, first of all, there were the shepherds, and the shepherds saw the baby, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then 2 years later, and here come the wise men. They traveled from afar. They were very learned men, and yet they saw this little child. Read what it says again, buddy.
Where does it say? Matthew?
Oh,
Matthew
8.
Chapter 2, verse 8.
Oh, this is when they're talking to Herod.
This is Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search for the child carefully and diligently. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, a star which had been seen in the east in its rising went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. And then going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure bags, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay, so, and they then had the same kind of experience as the shepherd did. The shepherd saw a baby, and yet they saw the potential. That here, and they believed God. Then the angels who announced to them, "This day in Bethlehem is born to you a Savior, who is Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord, the Commander of angel armies, and the Savior of the world." And they believed, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then here comes these learned, high intelligentsia men who come and they go to to Bethlehem. You're right, the flight to Egypt was right the next thing down. And they saw the child. They saw a little child, you know. This is just a little two-year-old. And you know about the twos, they're terrible. Terrible twos. You know, he was just a kid. And yet, they believed what God had told them. That when they saw the star, they believed. And they came and finally the star stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy because they believed the potential of what God had done. And isn't that just what we're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. We see Christ, when we see Christ in everything, we see it all. And then you had mentioned, Oscar, at that time, it was really neat, and I thought maybe we could talk a little bit more about it. That is when where it parallels with the parables he was telling, was that they went and they sold all that they had to buy the field or to, you know, do whatever it was so that they could have that, whatever it was in the parable. And then you said something about, and as he is, so are we in this world. I think there's some, maybe a little bit of conversation we can have about that before we go on a little bit more. Because I've been thinking about that all week long. The Lord keeps telling me two things. As he is, so are we. There's not a passive verb or a past verb. It's not as he was. He is the great I am. He is the present, all present God, the Christ, the anointing, the everything, and he is God in us. So as he is, so are we in this world. And then the other thing that I see that kind of ties into that, where it tells us that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We are as he is in this world. And what is he in this world? He's the only begotten of God the Father. He came down. He was made. He agreed to be made less than, you know, so that he could sacrifice himself so that we could attain all that he was. I should say all that he is because there is no past tense in God. That just has been kind of, I've been chewing on that all week, and I've been chewing on that for 2 weeks, I guess. So I thought maybe we could talk about that a little bit, and right then before we go on to the next parable. If anybody has anything they want to talk about there. If not, we'll just head right in.
Well, you know, like you said, the word is, everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And is a present tense right now word. You know, it's present, it's right now. It's not in the future, it's not in the past, it's right now. When you say so-and-so is here, they're here, you know. So when we come to the realization of that God is a present tense God inside of us, you know, that scripture we quoted last week or 2 weeks ago about them that diligently seek him, you know, must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them to diligently seek him. And we talked about him being a present tense God. We talked about all those different things, but we have to realize that it's not a future event. And the reason that it's so present tense is because he's not a God that's afar off. He's inside of us. And like you were just saying, and because he's inside of us, it's present tense. It's now. It is. It's right now. And, you know, we have to believe that until we come to the full realization of that and we quit going in and out, you know, then we won't come to the fullness of all that means, because we still have somewhat of doubt creep up inside of us, and we don't realize that our words, what we say, is very powerful sometimes, you know. Scripture talks about us being judged by our words, by what we say, you know. And we have to learn that we need to quit saying negative things. And that's what Christian people have a tendency to do. In one sense of the word, they will talk about, you know, Christ in them, being that mystery that's been hidden for past ages. And then they'll turn around and they'll say, well, he's coming back again someday, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to believe that he has come in the flesh. He's come in your flesh, not only initially in the flesh of one man, but in the flesh of all men, you know. And when we come to the realization of that, and truly come to the realization of that, then I believe the unveiling of the sons of God in this earth will take place, where people will really see you. When they see you, they'll realize that they're seeing God, because he's inside of you, not because of who you are, but because of who he is in you. If that makes sense, I don't know.
And you know what, even if in ourselves as well as in others, if we choose to view the Christ, mm-hmm. I think Clyde always used to say, I only see Christ, you know, that's all I see in you. And sometimes it's very difficult to see only Christ in people, mm-hmm. but just like the shepherds and just like the wise men, if the Christ in someone else is just a newborn baby, and all it does is poop and cry, it's the Christ. Mm-hmm. And if it's a two-year-old brat in that child, in that person, mm-hmm. you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad because you recognize what's and who is in them. And if we see anything else, we are not single-eyed unto God. We're seeing things that should not be judged by us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful thing. It just kind of all flowed through my head all this time, you know. It's simple, but it's not easy.
You actually see Christ in different developmental stages in people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's when God says love covers a multitude. And I believe when we look at different ones, you know, by looking at them or talking to them where they are, mm-hmm. and what they have of him. Mm-hmm. They have all of him, mm-hmm. but it's still in a mm-hmm. developmental stage is what.
Process.
Yeah, and that they're not, we look and think, ought to be perfect. Why are they having this or mm-hmm. they doing that, which is being judgmental, which God has not called us to do. Mm-hmm. But I believe he's called us to love and to teach mm-hmm. and to express Christ in us. And do only, he said, I do only what my Father does. I say only what my Father. And, you know, very little many times do we do that. It puts mm-hmm. you in such a place, I feel, of dependency. And like I had shared, I think it was the last time, that God is ever speaking, ever showing, ever, you know, but... Mm-hmm. Many times we're doing this or doing that, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And not really hearing and obeying that voice mm-hmm. of him within us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I always like to say this one. If there's even a progression in the revelation of Jesus Christ going on in that scripture that you read. First of all, there's shepherds in the field, and the shepherds have a visitation of the angels of the glory of God, and they begin to tell him about Jesus being born, you know. And, you know, they go and they see the birth of Christ, you know what I'm saying? And what do shepherds in the body of Christ today, what do they want to see in the people out there? They want to see the birth of the Christ.
Yes.
And they want to see it not only be birthed, but they want to see it grow to maturity.
Yes.
The wise men, they came, and there was, I believe there was three wise men, I believe it was. And they came and they brought presents. And the presents that they were bringing were things that were of great value back then. And God has ministries later on that are basically the wise men in that sense. Mm-hmm. They want to see him in a grown-up state or in a growing state, you know. And a lot of times they bring the things of value that help him grow up. Because I'm sure that even what they brought, the treasures that they brought, the great treasures, frankincense, myrrh, and gold, you know. Mm-hmm. And you come to realize that even in them bringing those things, they brought things of great value, which I'm sure that in the natural that Mary and Joseph used that to further the growth and development of the Christ, of Jesus Christ, because he was just, I believe he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you the number three. I could tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, anyway, he you know, they brought that, and that helped bring the development of the Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes wise people to bring the development, but the thing about the wisdom is it's not earthly wisdom, it's godly wisdom. And you think about these guys apparently, and we have a tendency that we want to focus just right in on the Bible all the time and feel like, well, God wasn't really dealing with anybody else anywhere in the world. And that's not true. That's definitely not true. Because even those wise men, they knew the scriptures. And when they saw that heavenly, beautiful thing that was happening in the heavens, they knew that there was a great king going to be born. And how did they know that? They knew that because God had already given them some insight into things, and they came asking, who was this great king? You know, where's he at? You know, we want to come and pay homage to him. You know, so a lot of times we feel like I say, and I've told you all the story of Manahem and about Herod, you know, and Herod was not the king, but yet Manahem prophetically knew that he would be, you know, and yet, you know, Herod didn't know that. Herod said in Josephus, he said, I'm just a common man, just like you, a common person, just like you. You know, but you won't be, you know. And see, but yet, even though he was given that revelation, did he follow it? He didn't. And because, and even what did he say in that little thing I told you? He said, I'm going to tell you to do justly and to do things the right way and all this kind of stuff. He said, but I know that you won't. Yeah. So he had a choice, but he knew what the choice was going to be, you know.
He said he knew he wouldn't.
Yeah, he knew he wouldn't. And he didn't, you know.
But he let him know what he should
do. But even with that, wasn't God a part of that?
Yes.
He had already given a prophetic word about Rachel weeping for her children and all that kind of stuff, you know. So God knows. He knows it all, you know, and when we come to the realization of that, then we don't struggle as much with everything that's going on, you know, because, I mean, you know, and when you see people go to war and all that stuff, it can make you think, oh my God, why is all this happening? You know, you don't want to see people getting killed or American people or anybody else getting killed and stuff like that. But yet, in God's plans and purposes, we don't understand what all that means. You know, he knows, and he knows exactly what will come out of it, and we don't know. But thank God, once we come to trust him completely, we won't even struggle with those things as much, you know what I mean?
Who hardened Pharaoh's heart?
Yeah, God did.
God did.
Yeah.
Yes. Who warned
His ways are not our ways.
You have to go back to Herod.
Yeah, right. God did. That's right.
Yes,
see,
he did.
See, because, you know. And who knows how long it was in between the time when the wise men talked to Herod and when Herod finally made up his mind, well, they're not coming back here. It could have been a year, it could have been 6 months, it could have, who knows, you know.
Yeah, it all depends on how far they had to go to.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But he killed those that should be the age of
right.
the child.
Up to 3 years old it yes. was, yeah. And the reason being is that he didn't know when the birth took place, you know.
Also God warned Joseph, too, not to stay there where he was at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Rise and That's take right. him to Egypt.
And then there was a scripture in the Old Testament that talked about, you know, I've called my son out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Well, they came back up out of Egypt
yes.
when Herod was dead,
yes.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, God, he knows exactly what's happening, and we just have to learn to just rest in it and just mm-hmm. flow with it and
yes.
do whatever God has
yes.
us do, you know. But,
I was thinking of something, now it's gone. And the three wise men, or however many there were, they were warned in a dream not to go back to here.
Mm-hmm.
God always gives us what
yes.
we need when we need it.
Yes, Jesus.
I wonder when you talk about the fact that that was prophesied and this was prophesied, and yet, do you think it would be possible to change anything because of a prophecy? If it's actually given by God, and it's God's will, I don't think.
Well, he doesn't force, you gotta, here's what I believe. He doesn't force anything to happen, but he knows what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity or the choice of doing something different, because you do. I mean, you know, you have a choice, but yet he knows what you're going to do, because he's omnipresent. He's in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future. There is no time element with God in the sense that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time, consistently. You know, so nothing catches him by surprise, you know. I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, Saul, when Saul was made king, you know, Saul was made king, and yet, was he really God's choice? No, he wasn't. But yet, he was for a span of time, because, he was little in his own eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to make sure that we don't get puffed up and think that we're more than we are.
Yes.
Because anything that we are that's of any value, it's God, it's not us, you know. And when I say that, I'm not trying to separate us from God, because we don't need to be separated. But you can get to the point where you start pushing yourself out there rather than God, you know, and being God, you know. Anyway,
we have the benefit of having the Old Testament and the New Testament. I wonder how it was on these guys back there in those days who didn't have the word like we have. Oh, and thus it was to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah concerning
mm-hmm.
him, that he would come and that he would. We can say, oh yeah, look at that. That makes sense now. But they had none of that. They were walking by faith.
Well, and we have to realize, too, it was given to us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom
mm-hmm.
as he unfolds them.
Yes.
You know, he has to do the unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we'll get it wrong. I mean, you know, if it's just us, we'll get it wrong, you know.
It'd be our interpretation.
Yeah, our interpretation, not God's.
Yes.
And his interpretation is usually way better than ours.
Oh, my goodness.
Way better.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's try going on a little bit. You ready?
Yeah.
47, 48.
Is it my turn?
Let's go to 52.
All right.
47
all
to
right.
52.
All righty. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet which was cast into the sea and gathered in fish of every sort. And when it was full, mm-hmm. men dragged it up on the beach and sat down and sorted out the good fish into baskets, but the worthless ones they threw away. So it will be at the close and consummation of the age. People want to say the end of the world, the end of mm-hmm. but it's age. And the angels will go forth and separate the wicked from the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, cast them, the wicked, into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Now have you understood all these things, these parables taken together? They said to him, yes, Lord. And he said to them, therefore, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who has been instructed about and trained for the kingdom of heaven and has become a disciple is like a householder who brings forth out of his storehouse treasure that is new and treasure that is old.
How beautiful.
The fresh as well as the familiar. So when Jesus had finished these parables, these comparisons, he left there. I'm ending it there.
Things new and things old remind me of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Reminds me of the former rain and the latter rain, all the fresh anointing and the, you know, there's so much to be had. But I still laugh when they say, have you understood all these things? Oh yeah, Lord, we understand that. Okay, there'll be a test on Friday, you know. I don't think you do understand. A dragnet. That kind of tickled me as well, and it was cast into the sea, and it drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good and the bad. Let's see, that's not what it says. Which, when it was full, they drew it to the shore and they threw it all out on the shore and they gathered the good into one and the bad into another. These are people doing that? This really confuses me. What is a bad fish and what is a good fish? Are there bad fish? I don't know.
What is it when they say it in where it was cast into the sea? When you look at that in a spiritual another way,
I was thinking back then when they went out to fish and had to drag that they had the net between two boats and they dragged it that way.
Uh-huh.
Because nowadays they have these powerful boats and they don't need two boats together to drag a net. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like, what would be the, I want to say, one boat and another boat, what would be the...
The outline of biblical usage in here, this is really
you know, what would be the one boat and the other boat that they drag it and they come to shore and then you got one good fish and one bad fish?
Well, what about the sea? Is that, they interpret that before as the world.
Yeah, that would have to look at
people.
And, yeah.
Uh-huh. And here it says, to cast means, this is kind of cute. Oh, cute. Is to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. Mm-hmm. To scatter, to throw, to cast in too. And here's another one that's good. To give over to one's care, uncertain about the result. So, you know, God says cast your net, cast your net. Just do what God says. That was kind of
nice. It also says right here, cast them, the wicked, into the furnace of fire. And they're weeping and gnashing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fire is to purify, mm-hmm. to, you know, so that would be.
Agreed.
And who did it cast into it? It says the wicked.
Yeah.
But it's those that God is burning what? That which is not of it, you know. And I believe many times when we've been going through things and God's still just been weeping. You know, we have went through when God has brought something that is really processing and developing Him even greater within our lives. Sometimes it's painful and we're crying it out. Because, you know, in James, when it said, count it all joy when these, you know, come, you know, which we do not. It has to be, I believe, when we're in that place and it's painful and He's dealing, that it's a place of really drawing from Him and really, because only Him can bring, you know, only He can bring us through it and do what He, what needs to be done
mm-hmm.
within us.
Also, I read someplace in the Bible where the fishermen were out in the sea, they didn't catch anything, and came back to shore.
Yes.
The king was told them to get back in the boat.
Yes.
Row back out. He said, now cast on this side. And they caught a whole bunch of fish, and the net was almost ready to break.
Yep.
And I forget what part that was in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a physical sense, wicked can mean diseased or blind, which would be interesting. That and bringing toils, annoyances, perils.
Look at the root word of that word wicked here and see what it says.
Wicked? Yeah, it means it's poneros, ponevos or something.
Yeah, look, just touch it and look at if you've got the Strong's here.
Yes, yeah. The Strong's?
Yeah.
Okay, Strong's 4190. Full of labors, annoyances, hardships. Pressed and harassed by labors.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing toils, annoyances, and perils.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into the purifying fire.
It's a little bit different than destroying.
Yes. Yeah,
a little different, see?
Yes.
And when you realize that what He came to destroy was that wickedness in people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe He came to destroy the people.
No.
He came to destroy the wickedness.
To purify.
Yes.
Bring purification. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when the dross rises to the top in the silver and it becomes a mirror, oh, that's a beautiful symbol to me.
Yeah.
And you can see God.
Yeah.
In the silver. That's when you know it's been purified.
And you know, even the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, and you know, in our society years ago, our dollars and stuff,
mm-hmm.
all of our paper money used to say silver certificate on it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it don't say that no more because
no.
they don't back it with silver. Silver was talks about redemption. You know, it talks about the redeeming power of God. So, when we come to realize that He's puts it in the furnace of affliction to, like you say, skim off the dross. And when it's skimmed off, then what begins to happen? You see a reflection of yourself when you look into it, your real self. You know, and when you see a reflection, you know. Almost always, whenever you have a revelation of God, you also get a revelation of self-life, and you begin to realize how far you fall short of that. You know, in your own strength, but yet you realize that in His power, you don't fall short because He's giving you His righteousness. It's an imparted righteousness. It's not a righteousness that's of you. It's a righteousness that's of Him and what He did on Calvary. You know?
It's so beautiful that He makes up for any deficiency.
Deficiency, yeah.
I had another one and it went away. Oh, I was going to say, when you were talking, when you learn to rightly divide the word,
right,
you realize that you have nothing to fear.
Right.
From God, of God, in God, about God. He is nothing but good, nothing but love, and He wants nothing but your best. You know, and people get so involved in translations and in what some guy thinks that means. And the Word of God, generally, if you're not looking for truth, if you're not looking for the way, the truth, and the life, you're going to be deceived.
Right.
By what is said in these words, in these books.
Right. Well, you have to realize that everybody who was translating those words was not necessarily under the anointing of the Holy Spirit when they translated them. There's different meanings to those words. Mm-hmm. And they picked out something that made sense to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times it wasn't the right thing when you go word for word translation. That's why I believe He told people to study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. And what are you dividing it? You're dividing it so you can see it for what it really is, you know. And that's why it's one of the greatest things that was ever given to man to help him a lot, especially to people who were not Jewish, you know, especially, and people who were not Greek, you know, back in the day, was the Strong's and Exhaustive Concordance. And I really believe that it is the Strong box.
Mm-hmm.
You open the Strong box and you begin to see the treasures. And you know, I bought one of them things 50-something years ago because I heard a minister say something about it 56 years ago. It might have been 60 years. It was probably another 50 years ago, I'd say. I bought one of them things and I took that thing home. And I never heard anybody say anything out of it. But I took that thing home and I looked at it and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this thing? I didn't know how to use it, what it was, nothing else. And I began to pray about it. And then finally I figured out that it had a Hebrew Chaldean dictionary in it, and it had a Greek dictionary in it. And it had numbers that were next to, that numbered every word that was in the Bible, you know. And then I began to realize that God started having me look up things, you know, to see what it really meant. And boy, I tell you what, I started saying, oh my God, a lot of this stuff that they're putting in here isn't exactly right. You know, it's you know, and that's the thing that, you know, we have to realize that God hid these things from the wise and the prudent. And it's a love letter to the church, and depending on what level you're on, he will reveal to you on that level, you know, sometimes. That's not the end all of it, because that same scripture, he'll bring you back to that scripture later on.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll show you a higher level of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still didn't change the first level, but it's greater. And then he might bring you back to it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll show you the really big, you know what I mean? And you think, wow, you know, it just keeps getting more and more, but you couldn't handle it if he showed you the big thing to start with, because you have no criteria to handle that, you know?
Yeah, things were so different back then. You didn't have these with the little numbers right next to them.
No.
And you could just click on the number and it would take you there. You know,
yeah.
you had to do the work.
Well,
it really gave you the satisfaction of digging.
Well, see, like years ago one time, not one of the first times, but real early when I first started speaking in the church, you know, when Brother Eddie asked me to speak, real early, and before that, he had been dealing with me about the names. You know, he was drawing me to the names of the children of Israel, you know, to all their names. And I thought, Lord, why are you having me look at this? You know, and I was looking at it, and I looked at the Old Testament, you know, and then I started looking at it up in Revelations, and I said, it's in a different order. Why is it in a different order? You know, I started asking questions, the Lord questions. Then I felt like the Lord started telling me, go in there and see what the meaning of their name meant, you know. And back then, I was not hearing anybody talk about that, the meaning of the names or any of this other stuff. And I started looking it up, and I started saying, oh, my God, you're preaching a whole sermon in these guys' names, you know. And I thought, you're showing me a different birthright up here, a different order. So why are you showing a different order? Because this order is very important. God don't do anything out of order. He's a God of order, you know. But when he changes things, he's changed it for a reason. And then, as I looked down through there, one of the biggest things I noticed that Dan was left out. And I thought, Lord, why was Dan left out? And when I looked at Dan, Dan meant judgment. And God was leaving judgment out. And I thought, oh my God, this is entirely different from what I'm reading and hearing and all this kind of stuff. And it was quite a while before I actually spoke on that, you know. Mm-hmm. He'd start opening that stuff up to me. And when he opened that up to me, and I preached that sermon 50 something years ago. I still have the CD where the first time I preached it. Mm-hmm. Now, years later, Rich and them were studying in there, and I said to him, I said, they were trying to go through the book of Revelations. Mm-hmm. and they were going through Ray Prenzing's book of Revelations, you mm-hmm. know. And I told Rich, I said, study into the names there and the meaning of their names, you know. And he did, and then he started having the people out there share that. But I had shared that message 50 years ago, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But the neat thing about it is that it doesn't change, see. God just opens it up more, you know. And that's the thing, is it's, his word is so perfect. I mean, when you get into it, it is so daggone perfect. You can't believe it sometimes, how perfect it is.
I think it also shows you there's a time and a season for everything.
There is, you know? There is.
And up until Strong's Concordance, plain old people could only listen to church, religious people, you know, the preachers, the priests, the cardinal, whatever it was, mm-hmm. whichever church you went to, and you were not ever encouraged to go further.
They didn't want you to study.
You are to believe what we tell you.
Right, right.
And this opened, I mean, what a difference in your relationship, in our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. This is personal relationship with God that we have, because we can find a way to know him for ourselves.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, and even when I started sharing the meaning of numbers with you guys, mm-hmm. years ago the Lord started dealing with me about numbers, you know, and Carl said something about that he had a book from Bill Britton. Mm-hmm. That Bill Britton had put out, and it was by this Baptist minister now, mm-hmm. this Baptist minister, that he had given the meaning of numbers. A lot of times when you see certain numbers, this is what it's talking about and all this kind of stuff. So then I started looking into numbers, you know, mm-hmm. and I started seeing, oh my God, it tells you the whole story right there too, you know. But when you realize there's nothing in the scriptures that doesn't speak to you on different levels, you know, on higher levels sometimes, and things that you skim right over and you think, oh, that don't mean nothing, Yeah, it usually does mean something if God begins to point you in that direction, and sometimes it means something extremely important. But it's not that you, I never have ever approached studying and just, I'm gonna sit down and just do all this studying. When God would direct me in a direction, that's the way I would go, and then he would open things up that were, I had Brother Eddie say to me one time, he says, Oscar, he says, how do you find out the stuff that you, he asked me, he went to Bible school, I didn't go to Bible school, you know. And I told him, I said, well, Brother, I said, there's a lot of reference things. And I said, if God brings that to you, then, and sends you in that direction, I said, it's pretty amazing, you know. But I mean, he had a deep word, Brother Eddie had a deep word. Mm-hmm. But he said, I studied Greek and all that stuff in college, and he said, but see, I don't think he was using a Strong's Concordance or any of that stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And even when Ray Printing came and talked about sovereignty of God, Brother Eddie struggled with that at first. I mean, he struggled with it big time.
And you can understand that.
Because, you know, he traditionally, that wasn't the teaching, you know, for many, many years. I thank God that I didn't sit under all that kind of teaching. Mm-hmm. Because when he started opening things up to me, I didn't have to say, oh, geez, but so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that, you know. And a lot of times we need to forget about what so-and-so said and what's God speaking to you about. That's what really matters, you know, what he speaks to you about and what he shows you, because that's the revelation that you have to walk in, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
The way we found out about down here was through Brother Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
On the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the one sister, I wasn't even saved then, and the one sister, she has since passed, that her daughter and I just look at God has a time.
He does.
And he reveals and opens things to, and even if someone's having a struggle, I believe a tradition or what,
mm-hmm.
they really are open to him. God will make things real. True. Because I said we had never known about y'all or nothing or Elmwood.
Right.
It wasn't for her and the hunger that she had, and heard him on the radio, and she shared with Betty and mm-hmm. Catherine Ann and them. Mm-hmm. And they came down, and I wasn't even back. You know when he was on the radio.
Yeah.
Were you even saved then when he was on the radio?
No, I was a kid. but I heard him talking different times when my mom was listening to him on the radio.
That's
and her and my Uncle
did.
Wiley were coming out to Wings, even
mm-hmm.
when Jones was there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there one time when he was there, when
mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old. And, you know, I saw what went on. I there was a presence of the Holy Spirit there. It was very strong and all that kind of stuff. And he even gave my mother a word, a prophetic word that night. And really without calling her out, he said, there's a woman sitting in the back and somewhere, and she's got on a blue silky blouse and all this kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. And he said, she has a little boy with him, and I see something happening to that little boy.
Was that you?
That was me. And she came with somebody in a car, and the woman that brought her in the car had a sick baby at home, and all of it was right down
yeah.
the line. I mean, it was right down the line. And, you know, he said, I see something, coming on that boy. And I started having seizures not long after that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
But they talked about him all the time. People and Brother Ed used to talk about him all the time. And I felt like that they were putting him on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I got saved when I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And, I felt like they were tending to put him on a pedestal, you know. And when that thing happened at Guyana, you know, I sat down at home and I felt a real heaviness, and I said, Lord, this is gonna devastate a lot of people because they had their eyes on that man. And I said, Lord, why did this happen? What was this all about? And he gave me that scripture. He just took me right to that scripture of Samuel. When Saul was disobedient,
mm-hmm.
and God told him to go and utterly destroy you know, all the enemies, the cattle, everything, you know. And when he came back, Samuel came to him and he says, Saul, what is this I hear? I hear the lowing of cattle and the bowing of sheep. Here's what Saul said. He said, the people talked me into bringing the stuff back to sacrifice it to God. I'm paraphrasing that basically, but that he was blaming the people. And Samuel told him, because he had been disobedient, God was going to rend the kingdom from his hand, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I felt like that's what happened to Jones. Jones began to, and I found out later on that he began to get into Eastern religions and all different kind of stuff. He started going in all different kind of directions, trying to figure the thing out. And he had one time he had a very true ministry.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It only lasted for a while. You know what I mean? And I felt like the Lord was basically saying, when he was little in his own eyes, God anointed him. And when he became big, God took it away from him.
Who would like to close? That was a sneeze, not a cry. I tried to be a sneeze, but it wouldn't.
Father, we just thank you for coming together and sharing with you, oh God, and how you open the word and speak, Father, to our hearts and that which you desire of us and what you're doing in us, oh God. And we just submit ourselves, commit ourselves fully to your hands. That you, O God, be glorified in everything that is said and done. And even as we go to the next service, Lord, that you be glorified. Mm-hmm. We thank you, give you praise, O God, for your love, mercy, and grace. For we thank you, Lord, all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.